The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It is Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. Kelly Midlin Bidlin. Who is fighting through? No college football guessing lines this week. The segment that everybody loves.
What are we supposed to guess anymore?
Well, there are more bowls than just the four you did last time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The people miss it, man.
I mean, we're being honest here. I've seen lines at this point.
Would I remember
them? Probably not.
So we'll rename the segment. Kelly Bidlin guesses lines he forgot already.
He's already seen one 2 weeks ago.
That's right. That's a whole new spin to it. We didn't do our pro tip of the hour last hour. Shame on us. When it comes to a contest like Survivor, or even just betting futures in general, you should always consider ways to lock in a profit. Maybe you don't want to at that moment, but at least run the numbers. Get used to that exercise, whatever the betting vehicle might be. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets at Beating the Book, as you might imagine, much of that in response to Joe Pita's two segments. This is It's Not Juice If You Win. That's his Twitter handle. He says, yeah, the big fly in the ointment is most people won't have $75K a week or more to hedge. Pretty sure my wife would kill me if I put $7K on Houston. Guess I should have worked on Wall Street like Joe. But he adds, he goes, that was a great segment, though, Gil. Love that content. Yeah, and I tried to point that out, right?
Yes,
like I tried to say.
It is absolutely.
This is not for everybody, right? But if you have the means and it gets you thinking that if you did, this is what you ought to do. Steve Fezzik, who has been on the show many times, he's back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. He got ahead of this yesterday. Steve really wanted to chime in on this. And Steve tweets. He says, Joe Pita, former Wall Street trader, apparently lives in a world where transaction costs are not discussed. I speak for the majority of the sharps here. Mark that down, Kelly, that Steve is the spokesperson for all the sharps.
I signed off on it.
Mark that down.
I was like, you can speak for me, Steve.
Absent transaction cost, his strategies are spot on. With VIG, he's speaking for all the sharps. We strongly disagree with all these minus EV bets. And he tagged me so that I hopefully would say that on the air, and I did. This is from Buy High, Sell Low, you know. I like that. Caught the last segment of Joe Pita's spot on a numbers game. Pure gold. Amazing breakdown of the numbers involved in advanced strategy that newer players might not understand and grasp. That's what puts this show a heads and shoulders above the rest. Well, that's very kind. Appreciate you. Thank you. All thanks to Joe Pita. That had nothing to do with me. Rich PSM, hedge 25% of my TCU conference. Not sure what he means by that right there. Get from August.
To win?
Oh, to win. Yeah, a little typo there.
To win the conference.
To win the conference. Okay, from August. Thanks to Chris Felica, who was on this show giving that out. And I'm very satisfied, especially considering how the TCU OC screwed up overtime. Oh, boy, did he ever. By the way, we never talked about this. Max Duggan. And my 100-to-1 ticket, which I knew was not going to get there, Kelly.
Yeah, but what a great bet anyways.
What a great bet. He ends up a distant second to DC's own Caleb Williams, DMV. Shout out. First Heisman Trophy winner ever from within the borders of the District of Columbia.
Yeah, 100-to-1 that finished in second in the race that you were in. It's hard to beat yourself up over a bet like that.
Oh, no, I'm not beating up. Where would that have landed in our Hall of Fame bets of the year?
Oh,
between the Braves and Ole Miss and the Warriors and Boncaro. Well,
make sure to check out around the holidays when you might see Gil and I go over some of those bets. Mm-hmm. But for you, I'm going to guess it's right in between 2 and 3.
Well, if it had cashed anyway. Xavier82, I missed Joe Pita live on the show. Can't wait to watch the replay later today for ideas on hedging. It's not just for gardeners. I don't know what that last part meant. Anyway, all of our shows, by the way, in podcast form, not just a numbers game, but all of our shows, in case you missed it, at VSiN.com/podcast.
And watch over at VSiN.com. A lot of those graphics will help with some of the math as he's explaining it. I think that would probably be the best way to take it in. Joe, awesome guy. Love having Joe Pete on whenever we can. Numbers, really nice and extremely intelligent, Gil, where it's just some of that's way over my head. That was the smartest conversation I've had in weeks.
Had to kind of double back, redo the math. Got a little mathy in here. Doesn't do that every day. Apologize. This gentleman, by the way, Numbers Game podcast Tuesday through Friday. Numbers Game, in case you missed it on the Numbers Game feed. Monday, Guessing Lines. Thursday, the Megapod on the Beating the Book feed. And this gentleman was kind enough to join us on the Megapod this past Thursday for his inaugural tour of the Megapod. It's our own Mike Pritchard, Pro Football Blitz's Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
I'm good. Did you survive the? Tell me the truth, Mike. When you went through the Megapod experience, was a little part of you? What's with this guy over here on the right? Was a little part of you with Todd Wishnev? Tell the truth. It's just me and you talking.
Not really. Okay. You know, I've been into some hostile environments over my years. Gil,
yes.
I didn't know what to expect, but it was all good, man. Todd was great, and I think I went 2-1 on your Megapod.
Yes, you did, baby. Yes, you did. I was going to say, is Daryl Green sitting across from you at the line of scrimmage or Todd Wishnev on a Megapod? Like, which was more harrowing?
I broke Daryl Green's arm. I don't know if you know that.
Dude, every time we talk, you tell me something new. My God.
I also feel like Prish is just trolling me more and more now. Like, every time he's on, he looks more like he's a coach at the University of Colorado already.
That's true. That's a great one. Wait a minute. Two things. First, how did you break his arm? Let's close that.
Well, it was an accident. I think he was trying to tackle me because I was in a slot, right? And Daryl normally played outside, whether it was on Michael Haynes or speed guy or not. And I caught, I think it was an option route. And, you know, I was pretty good after run after the catch. So he tried to make a tackle. And Daryl Green is not the biggest guy in the world, right?
He
was fast, fleet of foot. But he went in there and with his arm and hit my knee. And I think I cracked that arm there.
He played with that cast on his arm the rest of the year, I believe.
He did.
Yeah,
he did. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, I sure do. Yeah. I sure do.
Warrior. Absolutely.
And what about what Kelly's saying? You're legitimately wearing a Colorado Buffaloes a shirt that would be worn on a sideline, Mike. Let's break some news once and for all. Come on.
No. I'm not wired to be a coach. I think Coach Prime is assembling a fine coaching staff out there. I'm just representing. You know, I don't know if I'm ever going to take down these jerseys because it's connecting the dots for what's going on with the program right now. But just representing, it's a proud moment as a CU Buff.
Okay. This week in the National Football League.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with the Saturday games. Let's just start with Miami Buffalo specifically because Tua's coming off a really bad performance. And I'm curious where you as a former player and as a wideout stand on Tua and then where you stand on this game.
Well, I think the league has caught up to what the Dolphins are doing. And I've been saying this for a few weeks in terms of not being able to implement the running game or get the running game up to par or where it needs to be to kind of complement what they're doing in the passing game. So if you saw that game against the Chargers, even go back to the 49ers and how teams are just sitting on routes now, sitting on breakpoints, sitting on end cuts, sitting on tendencies that Tua likes and enjoys. And once that starts to happen, okay, what are your answers? What are your solutions here as a team? Well, a lot of teams run the football and they try to get physical. Other teams, they try to break tendencies if they can, right? And I think when you have McDaniel as a new head coach, play caller, and a quarterback situation, it's tough to break tendencies that way. Another way is to create matchups. And so one time in that game against the Chargers, they created a matchup. They singled up Tyreek Hill, and it scored a touchdown. But they didn't get back to that. They couldn't get back to that. And certainly the adjustments were there, too, for the Chargers. So with that said, I think Miami's exposed right now, and they have to change their ways. If they don't, it's going to be the same story offensively week after week.
Is there a chance they don't make the postseason here, Mike? Tough schedule.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule. There is a chance. There's always a chance. I mean, we've seen slides before, just like we've seen the last 2 years, teams in the NFC get hot. Like, you think about the Rams get hot after they added pieces, and then same thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting hot after their bye. So, yeah, absolutely. I thought the Ravens, they had a potential sliding. They got the win, the dub against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll see what happens there. But, no, there's a number of teams that I think that have the potential of sliding here.
What about the Niners and the Seahawks tomorrow night? Again, Brock Purdy, we think, though we're not sure, I guess, at this point. They're down to a 3-point favorite against the Seahawks. No Debo, we know that for sure.
Yeah.
How do you feel like the Niners are going to be able to overcome that?
Well, I like the Seahawks on the teaser. I mean, at my former teams, and anytime I can catch them as a dog, I'm looking at that situation. It's a divisional game, and I know what happened the first time around, but Seattle knows better this time around, and it's a tough place to play up there on a short week. So Brock Purdy or not, the quarterback position with those two guys who have been involved with this system with Kyle, I wouldn't think there would be that much of a fall off. Now, if Brock doesn't play, you're going to see a completely different game plan. And then on a short week on top of that too. So you look at the total set with 43.5 over there at the South Point. But I do, with the fact that we do have this type of a total situation, and we do have Geno completing over 70% of his passes and those two weapons that he has, he needs a running game. But I do like the Seahawks in a teaser though.
Who's the guy of the young quarterbacks that you believe in the most? Is it Mike White? Is it Brock Purdy? Who's the guy, or who's the guy that you think is a little overrated?
Wow, over those guys, those two?
Well, I'm just throwing out a couple. Maybe there's somebody else. Yeah.
You know, I'm curious about Ritter, to be honest with you. I think the creativity down there in Atlanta could help him out. I was going over how many backup quarterbacks or how many backup quality quarterbacks are in the league right now, and who can you trust? I mean, if I had to trust anybody, it would be the quarterback situation in San Francisco because of Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he is fantastic, though, you know, when it comes to play and calling and certainly what he can do with his personnel.
Okay, so you like the Seahawks in a teaser. Real quick here in 15, 20 seconds, the,
yes, sir.
The play you like the best for the entire weekend would be?
The play I like the best, probably, that's a good one. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I think that's the play. I mean, it's Thursday night football. I get it. But right now, that's the only one that's standing out to me.
Seahawks have got to stem the tide here if they want to make the postseason. It's a big, big game for them, needless to say. They're all big from here on out. Mike, always great to talk to you, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Mike Pritchard, everybody, at MI Pritchard. On the Twitter machine. Todd McShay has a mock draft. We'll look over it next. Numbers Game, VSiN, eSports.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season just a couple days away. About to kick off. VSiN has you covered with this year's College Football Bowl Guide. This year's guide is picks on the spread and total of every bowl game from VSiN experts, along with Brent Musburger, Steve Mackinnon with power rankings. For every team, breaks down the motivational factors that affect bowl games. Josh Applebaum will give insight to bowl betting strategy, and Adam Burke can help give you an advantage if you're part of bowl confidence pools. Anything with Adam Burke involved is worth your time. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to check out the College Football Betting Guide. It's the College Football Bowl Betting Guide. VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate it. Chris Heath checking in. Jake Hayner, who Will Hill brought up as Todd McShay's 10th mocked quarterback in his 1.0 draft. Son of local KTVU Fox News anchor Julie Hayner, for those of you who are from the Bay. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you, Chris Heath. That's interesting.
Okay.
Bill Hooker at BH Buying says, I enjoy watching Maria Taylor no matter what she's doing. Talking about the awkward
Bill.
Jason Garrett's there. To every one of these tweets, you should just be like, okay, Bill.
Okay.
Okay, Bill. It's not juice if you win, checks back in. He says, personally, if I could get 10 to 20K on my entry from the initial 1K, I would be happy with that. Talking about the hedging. Kevin B, K Bender 23. Joe was awesome talking about Joe Pita. Does it change anything that the Packers are Monday night? Not only will you know what teams were taken, but you'll know the outcomes and therefore know how many entries were eliminated. Yes.
Yeah,
that
totally
does matter.
Totally does.
Absolutely does matter. Al Giannis, just some clarity on that hedging tweet before. He's right because I sounded confused. He goes, Gardner's cut hedges. That tweet was using a play on words to state that hedging can be used as a better as well and not just gardeners cutting plants. I love it when listeners explain things to me like I'm a two-year-old.
I forgot the tweet already that you read earlier.
That's great. Todd Bubba Horowitz. So, Gil, here's what hedging means. Gardeners typically use a hedge. Oh, okay, thank you. Todd Bubba Horowitz. He said, Joe was spot on from a trader's standpoint. Hedging is not negative EV. It is taking the risk out of the trade and locking in profits. The sharps, quote unquote, don't get that part of the trade. Take that, Fezzik, from Todd Bubba Horowitz. And the angriest guy in New Jersey reacting to Mike Pritchard, he says, shame he didn't break Todd Wishnev's arm.
Oh, man.
Best listeners ever. Action Albatross. You need the visual on this, Bo, though. But he's there's something there. Yeah, that's I can't really translate it on the radio, but basically talking about the Jason Garrett creepy stare as well. It's fabulous. All right, so Todd McShay. What is it, December? Mid-December, we're calling it?
Yes, it is the 14th of December.
Never too early to put out a mock draft. By the way, do you know, like, fantasy football players who do mock fantasy drafts in, like, April?
Yeah. I mean, we're laughing about this. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Those are the people.
Do you know how crazy fantasy guys get?
Bro, my buddy Tommy, he goes, Gil, it's never too early to mock my draft. That's what a champion does.
I remember, I don't think it was this past offseason, but it was, I think it was two off seasons ago. I had a friend who I was back in Florida. I was seeing him, and he's like, it's like May or June, right? He's like, Kelly, so I got the third pick of my fantasy draft this year. What do you think I should do with it? I'm like, it's May, man. Like, I don't know. Like, let's think about this in a couple months.
Well, Todd McShay did the for real one, the mock draft of what will be the real NFL draft this coming April, which, again, from a betting standpoint, if you are new to betting, we talk about all these different ways to bet. Your betting pie, if you will. Some of it. You know, I'll just use mine as an example. Some of it is based on, you know, data that you bet pre-flop. Tennis for me, by the way. Please, come back, tennis. I can't handle these NBA games anymore. please, come back.
No, that's true. NBA and golf for me, right? Very data-based.
Yep. Very data-based. Some is going to be in-game, looking for ways to exploit the algorithm that's behind an injury or just behind a situation certain times late in the first half we talk about. Others are information-based. Information-based, like the NFL draft, where it is really a Googling contest, quite frankly. Who can get the information quicker?
I'm just thinking, I guess that's also NBA-based, but yeah, okay.
Sure.
Because you got to get injury information.
That's
yeah.
right. As injury news comes later and later.
Right.
The
but
NBA.
Bowl games, we've talked about this with?
Bowl games used to be its own thing, right? Bowl games before the transfer portal, even before the transfer portal was, you're sort of playing amateur psychologist.
Right, motivation factors.
Is this team going to be upset that they didn't get to that bowl and they're settling for this bowl?
Yeah, Bama's not in the semifinals. How are they going to treat that? Do they care about winning a bowl that's not in the semifinals?
These coaches have moved on, not just the head coaches but the coordinators. Oh, this team gets to play near their home home campus. There's all kinds of things that we used to try. By the way, I wish we could have gone back with all of our amateur psychology and bowls over the years and see what our record would be exploiting that. I bet you it would be a coin flip on all of that. There was a great year. Once I was staying at the Hard Rock, and USC was playing at in the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah.
And the word got around the Hard Rock. I basically lived there. The word got around, oh, all these USC guys are at Babes. Babes was the nightclub at the Hard Rock back in the day. They're all there. Oh, man, they're going to get crushed. I think it was Fresno State. They're going to get crushed by Fresno State tomorrow. Everybody's betting Fresno State. USC rolled them. Rolled them.
I always love that like that kind of take, too. Because we always talk about that with – that's always a big, like, oh, got the South Florida flu, right, or the Vegas flu, right? They came out here, played a game. They're going to party. Well, there's a couple factors, right, Gil? Like, some people can hold their booze better than others. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they partied and then they went to bed early. Like, we always jump at these things like they are, it's 100%, you know, it's not infallible that they can actually go out, have a good time, and still win a game the next day. It's like, no, it probably happens more than you think.
Yeah, and now with the transfer portal, and this was sort of a thing that was started by Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, some years ago when they decided before their bowl games, their respective bowl games, they're like, deuces, we're out of here. We're going pro. We're not risking injury. And we here were like, yeah, I'm surprised this didn't happen earlier.
Yeah.
Now you have a transfer portal. You don't know who's playing. Like Grayson McCall thing with Coastal Carolina still up in the air. Is he playing? Is he not? Who knows? Anyway, here's Todd McShay's mock draft. So this is information-based now, a Googling contest. But here's your first stab at it. And Kelly was right when he said earlier, these mock drafts, whether it's McShay, whether it's Kuiper, who's my man over at the other guy that was that does such great drafts? Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, Jeremiah. Yep.
That dude has been on fire.
He's probably
the biggest market mover.
I know people keep track of these records, but I believe he is the most accurate over the past 5 years or whatever.
I'm gonna say when he puts out his mocks, it's the most market moving of the bunch. But here's McShay's first stab at it. Bryce Young from Alabama goes to the Texans. He's got Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Georgia, going to the Seahawks second. Seahawks have that pick from the Broncos.
Yeah.
In the Russell Wilson trade. Let us never forget, Will Anderson Jr., who's played at Alabama, I believe, 17 years now. He would go to the Bears at 3, according to Todd McShay's 1.0 draft. C.J. Stroud, quarterback from Ohio State, goes to the Lions. Oh, the Lions are going to say, this ain't your job, Jared Goff. We're drafting the kid. And then the Eagles, don't forget, the Eagles have the Saints pick. So the Eagles would go Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, because that's what the Eagles need, more of a running game.
It's kind of funny, though, because you think about running backs going high, and you don't really – I mean, we haven't seen many of them, right? Well, it's Saquon's the only one that's gone to the top 20 in, like, 5 years.
Would the Eagles really take Bijan Robinson
at 5? Well, it is kind of, I think it's one of those they could view that as kind of the luxury pick, right?
Will Levis from Kentucky would go to the Falcons at 6. That makes perfect sense. Desmond Ridder. Well, does it make perfect sense? Because they just drafted Desmond Ridder a minute ago.
Well, I think that's where
they're going to find out what they have in Ridder.
Exactly. You're going to find out what you got in Ridder here these next few weeks and then maybe make a decision.
I guess Todd McShay's already decided what they have in Ridder.
Yeah. You know, you obviously got to keep in mind these teams are going to change, right? This will not be the order of teams.
So many factors still to change. We're just doing this for giggles.
I mean, for us a little bit, it's more just seeing what players he's got hiring. Higher
yeah,
right?
and just to skip ahead, he's got Anthony Richardson. We talked about this a little bit with Futak yesterday. He's got Anthony Richardson, who decided to go pro out of Florida as the 11th pick going to the Panthers, and I made the comparison to Cam Newton yesterday. So that is pretty interesting. So anyway, that's just a sort of first look at it. I don't know what we learn from this, but we'll do this a number of times between now and the NFL draft. Just as Kelly said, know kind of what the consensus opinion is and then how you might be able to exploit that moving forward.
This is a perfect example here, Gil. So here's our odds to be the first overall pick. I sent these in last night.
There you go.
Did send these in last night. Current odds, 25-cent move. Bryce Young plus 125, C.J. Stroud plus 175. So, you know, really, I would assume, based mainly off of McShay releasing a mock draft, we've gone in the Bryce Young direction for first overall pick here. And that's the biggest thing for me is going to be keeping track of these quarterbacks and how guys have them slotted. Because what you're going to keep hearing is how talented Bryce Young is, but is his height a factor? And, look, we've had a lot of small quarterbacks in this league that have not worked out over the past 4 or 5 years now. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. I've got Matt Brown and I have Will Levis tickets at 40-1 in this market. We bet before the season.
He did not do himself any favors.
No,
this
he
year.
Did not. He did
but,
not.
But now, having said that, how many times I've been on this show and said what happens between the Super Bowl and the NFL draft, what goes through NFL GMs and front office minds, how they convince themselves of something they didn't see that whole college. Like, it's just amazing.
Well, I think him and Levis and Anthony Richardson, right? All it takes is one team to fall in love with you. Those guys got skill sets.
They could totally talk themselves into that. They really could. I know it sounds crazy now, but, I mean, it happens every year with these guys. Happens every year. All it takes is one. We'll come back. Got a whole bunch more to get to, including our NFL awards look. In fact, why don't we do that after the break? Let's take a little heat check on those. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Visa is the gift that keeps on giving. Become a Visa Pro subscriber for only $79 United States dollars and get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You'll also receive $20 to buy Visa Sports Betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, though. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, deep dive betting reports, plus our ongoing College Bowl coverage with best bets on every single bowl game. It's a limited time offer, though, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift. And get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is Bruce Dobigan, who says, Oh, he was talking about the hedging thing. He goes, Gil-splaining. No, that Gil-splaining is if I was explaining the difference between the hedge of the gardener and the better.
I kind of like that, though. Yeah. I'm stealing that. What was that, Bruce?
Bruce Dobigan.
Hey, Bruce, let me know if I can steal that. I'd like to drop Gil-splained on the show. Stop Gil-splaining me.
Stop Gil-splaining me. Oh, this was the opposite. Touchdown Jesus. Didn't know about Julian Jake Haner either. Look out for Dennis Richmond's nephew and Mark Ibanez's godson. That's a little Bay Area humor, by the way, everybody. Love the show. When actionable and even when not. Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Kelly did something over the break that I'd like to share with everybody. He went to the restroom. Why is this noteworthy? Because when we did Prime Action with our buddy Matt Brown and with Daniele Alvari, We used to have all kinds of side bets going on during the show. That was that kind of became the show inside the show. We just had bets going. What was the bet with you? Matt Brown said to you, I bet you can't go to the bathroom at any point during the 3 hours of that show.
Yeah, that bet was never actually made, but it was something. I believe he challenged me to not use the restroom during the show. You know what? See, this is being spun oddly. People feel free to weigh in on Twitter. We did this show for 2 years.
Yes, we did.
Gil and Matt Brown sat up there every day for 3 straight hours.
Camels.
And never once went to the restroom. I think I saw Matt go once. I don't think you ever went.
Nope.
I think Matt, in 2 years of doing that show, had to excuse himself during a break.
I didn't even stand up for most of those shows.
Yeah, good point. You didn't even get out of that chair. That's a good point.
Well, I'm here all night.
Yet I'm the weirdo somehow for 2 years, over 2 years, haven't used the restroom every once in a while.
You're not the weirdo. You just lost the bet.
No, I didn't lose the bet because Matt then, you know, getting a little cocky like Matt does, right? He offered me the bet of, like, if you don't go to the bathroom during a single show for a month, you know, I'll pay out this or whatever. And I was like, I'm not going to make it a month.
So where I was going with this was trumped by the famous eggnog.
Yes, it was. It was probably around this time of year.
Holiday season.
Last year, around this time of year, we were having an eggnog. I don't know how eggnog got brought up, but you know how it does when we have these shows. It gets brought up, and the instant reaction of eggnog's disgusting. And I'm like, I like eggnog. So Matt was so disgusted by it, he challenged me to drink. You guys might have to help me out with this. Not a half gallon.
First of all, the two of you negotiating this was just an ongoing thing every day.
Yes, it was. So, okay, this was a half gallon I got to drink in 2 hours while we were doing the show.
Yes, it was truly disgusting. But you won the bet.
Oh, I won it easy.
Oh, stop. You won the bet. It wasn't that easy. You were slowing down at the end.
It was painful.
And in the end, you have never had another sip of eggnog.
I haven't had another sip of eggnog.
Because it was so disgusting to you, even though you won the bet.
I believe the figure was $300, I believe.
I believe we call that a Pyrrhic victory. So you won the bet, but really, who won?
I don't know who won, man. I used to love eggnog. I haven't had a sip since.
So, not last Christmas. Getting to the point, I can't challenge you to an eggnog bet this year. You can't do it. You're not going to do it.
I'd be open to negotiations.
All right. Well, negotiations are beginning.
Yeah.
Ongoing thing. All right. They begin now. awards. Let's do a heat check on some of these NFL awards because we do this every couple few weeks.
Yeah.
And we just want to see if there's any value. And we've talked about it before, but bear with us. So this is very different from the discussion we had 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Patrick Mahomes was the favorite in the NFL MVP market, and Tyreek Hill was the favorite in the Offensive Player of the Year. And I said at the time, I'm like, yeah, If you give it to Patrick Mahomes for MVP and if you give it to Tyreek Hill for Offensive Player of the Year, the problem with that, and I even think I used the phrase fly in the ointment then, as I did earlier with the hedging, the problem is you can't shut out Jalen Hurts. Well, now, after Patrick Mahomes threw the 3 picks against the Broncos, and yes, to the person who tweeted, is Patrick Mahomes the only guy who can be considered having a bad day if he throws with 350 yards in victory but throws 3 picks? Well, yeah, when you're having an MVP discussion, it matters. And so Hurts is now the favorite at minus 165. Mahomes, 2-1. Joe Burrow, 7-1, the only other person in single digits. Look at Josh Allen falling to 18-1.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
all right, real quick.
I think this is happening. I think Hurts is winning.
Who's live in this market? I think it's a 2-horse race. Maybe 3. Burrow could maybe put up
Burrow's
some ridiculous numbers.
He could.
But here's what I kind of wanted to talk about. With this stuff, Gil. If we believe, okay, if Jalen Hurts wins the MVP, does that then take him out of the Offensive Player of the Year race?
Yes, it does.
And you think it goes to one of the wide receivers, let's say Justin Jefferson, who's the odds on favorite right now, or Tyreek Hill, maybe he catches back up.
Yes.
I have a bet on him. I'd like that. Do you think that happens?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the other way I'm going to twist this is if we have MVP odds, these move again. Was looking at this last week, I believe. Looking at the quarterbacks who had one Offensive Player of the Year over the past, I went over 20 years. So this dates back to the 90s. Of the quarterbacks that have won Offensive Player of the Year, every time they've won an Offensive Player of the Year, they also have won MVP. So it's interesting to see how these odds are moving, both in the MVP market and the Offensive Player of the Year market.
This is, we often say, sometimes the best bets are the bets not made.
Yes.
There's too many moving parts here for all the reasons stated. So
that's what
my theory is this, that if Jalen Hurts, and again, you know, if Jalen Hurts wins MVP, Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson is going to win Offensive Player
Agreed.
Of the Year. If Patrick Mahomes wins MVP, there is no chance in hell they're going to give him Offensive Player of the Year also.
Agreed.
And they'll give that to Jalen Hurts. That's my thinking.
Or at least I think Jalen Hurts is immediately back in the running with
yes.
Justin Jefferson and maybe Tyreek Hill.
So it's impossible to, unless you can anticipate both of, like, if you, unless, you know, it's if this, then the other. So if you can't figure out the if this part, you can't bet then the other.
So and that's where I'm kind of thinking, if you don't have a bet, like if you don't have a bet in the Offensive Player of the Year market right now, unless you have Jalen Hurts, an MVP ticket on Jalen Hurts right now or already, I would not be betting the Offensive Player of the Year market.
Yeah.
I think it's too dangerous for you to bet into right now.
Defensive Player of the Year.
These odds have changed big time.
This market is a two-horse race here at this point?
Yeah, Micah Parsons was about minus 1,400, though, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, trust me, I know, because I have Micah Parsons at plus 650, and I was like,
about that. Hey,
look at me, I'm a genius. Nick Bosa has tightened this. But really, wouldn't it only take one more great Micah Parsons game for this to be game over? Like, if he just comes out and has one of these games where he, you know, two sacks, a forced fumble, fumble recovery, whatever he does, everywhere on a defensive field. I still think it's his to lose. By the way, Quinnen Williams, phenomenal, but he won't win this.
Yeah.
At 50 to 1.
Although good news, I guess good news for him, I think I saw they're listening to him day to day now, I think is what I saw.
I mean, Matthew Judon, great season, 50 to 1, but he's not winning it. So
it is interesting to me though how little respect. You know, we want to talk about the Patriots' defense and Bill Belichick all season long, yet Matthew Judon's been right in this sack-leading race pretty much the entire time.
Yeah.
Right now, tied with Nick Bosa.
I just think that the Parsons thing, the Cowboys do anything, right? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, look at this guy. So I just think it takes one more game from Parsons to blow up and do something amazing, and I think it's still his.
Yeah, and no, I agree.
Let's do Offensive Rookie of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year. This is interesting, too, right? Because this was Kenneth Walker running away. Well, now Garrett Wilson is the short shot at plus 175. Walker and Watson. Christian Watson of the Packers has gone on a touchdown spree. They're both at 3-1. Chris Olave's plus 550. Everybody else is double digits. And notably, Kenny Pickett off the board after getting concussed and knocked out of the game in the first quarter this past week. And, well, that's why they call it gambling.
Yeah. We really got to do an opposite rankings one of these days of like, I mean.
Does Brock Purdy at 25-1 have a shot?
There's no way, right? There's no way.
I don't say no way.
Like, in other words. You got four guys, not even four guys, five guys there at the top. Because Damian Pierce, well, I checked last.
Five games should not be enough.
It should not be enough. Like, Damian Pierce, even at the odds that he's in right now.
Five-plus games.
That guy is top 10 in the league in rushing yards, I believe.
Five games and three quarters should not be enough. Should not be enough. But again, human beings voting on an award. Maybe to some it will be.
Damian Pierce is seventh in the NFL in rushing yards.
Yeah, no, he shouldn't be 14-1. He's not winning.
Like, why is he so much worse than those four other guys?
This is the most wide-open market of all.
It really is.
Now, who knows?
No recommendation whatsoever.
And then finally, Defensive Rookie of the Year, real quick here as we go to break. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Ahmad Sauce Gardner, still a huge favorite, minus 500. Aiden Hutchinson's 5-1, Tariq Woolen 6-1. Tariq Woolen getting no respect in this market. None.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you think it's that big? He shouldn't be that big of a favorite. But he probably is the favorite, talking about Sauce.
Shouldn't be that big.
Yeah. Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Cameron Morton: what to do if I have Tyreek Hill Offensive Player of the Year at 30-1 and Hurts MVP at 9-1? Stop bragging.
Stop bragging to us
Stop
about it.
Stop boasting. Good for you, man. He just wanted to, what do I do if I have all these awesome tickets? Man, should be happy about that. Bruce Dobiggin: it's yours, Kelly. Gil splaining. He says, but I think it can also apply to listeners lecturing Gil on arcane points of shrubbery. That's right.
Yeah, well, you got Twitter splained there. That's what you got.
I got Twitter splained. Guy in Cornfields: isn't it funny how people calling for Geno and now Goff for comeback player of the year, but nobody's talking about Josh Jacobs, who was playing in the Hall of Fame game in August and now is leading the league in rushing and total scrimmage yards. Not only was he playing in the Hall of Fame game, he's fighting for his job playing in that game. They're going to cut him.
Past couple weeks, I feel like a lot of people have been throwing out names in this market. Like, why isn't Jared Goff, you know, higher up there? Jacobs, I've heard brought up a couple times.
Again, it's the most nebulous of all the, you know. Again, Jason Weingarten is about to join us.
Perfect example.
He wants Nick Gates, an offensive lineman, you know, right, who had tons of surgeries.
Who but he he's makes on, the perfect case for.
Makes it's perfect just, case, just that he's an offensive lineman, right? Let's bring in Jason Weingarten, ladies and gentlemen. Back stateside from under a cloud of smoke, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, wherever you get your podcast. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Just actually recorded a new episode. Should be going up any minute now.
What were you talking about?
What was I talking about? Talked about Mike Leach a little bit, the Mauritius Open, and the South African swing of the European and Sunshine Golf Tours. I don't know. What else did we talk about?
Bet on
the awards. I went through all the awards like I usually do, the NFL awards. You know, whole bunch of stuff. Talked about my favorite plane crash.
Okay, maybe we shouldn't have talked about that. Yeah,
big topic.
Yeah. So let me ask you this about the MVP and the Offensive Player of the Year, because we were just throwing this around. What do you make of that? Like, if Jalen Hurts wins MVP, he probably doesn't win Offensive Player of the Year. If Patrick Mahomes wins MVP, Jalen Hurts probably wins Offensive Player of the Year. Is that sort of what you're thinking as well?
I haven't really thought of it like that, but I think you know, if you look back, there are years where guys win both awards.
Mm-hmm.
As far as MVP goes, I think Mahomes kind of drifting out a bit right now. 2-1 is interesting to me. Kind of reminds me of all the conversations we had about Shohei Ohtani.
About LeBron,
and that
right.
Mahomes is always such a good quarterback and plays at such a high level that, you know, sometimes we take for granted how good he is. But There's no question in my mind that Mahomes is the best, you know, quarterback in the NFL, the MVP. Hurts is just kind of getting a bump because his team only has one loss, which I don't know how much you put on just Jalen Hurts being responsible for that. But for me, it's a no-brainer if you ask me, you know, who's the MVP, Mahomes or Hurts. I'd say Mahomes. The market seems to disagree with me, though.
Did you add any awards bet at any point here recently?
Yeah, I bet a little bit on Mahomes. We drifted out 2-1. Let's see what else I could go through what I got here. Recently got to pull it up. Bet some more Travis Kelce, actually, at 28-1. Why are we giving Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill so much credit for having, you know, 1,500 or so receiving yards each, when they both have 6 touchdowns? Travis Kelce's tied for the league lead in touchdowns. He's at 12 with Devontae Adams. And to me, you know, the goal of football is to score touchdowns, not to rack up the most yards. Why aren't we giving Travis Kelce some consideration when he's having, you know, an all-time season at tight end? And just in terms of fantasy, the gap between him and the second best tight end in fantasy is the same as the gap between the first and the 11th best wide receiver. So, you know, when you just look at his numbers kind of in context, he's having such a great season. I don't know why he's not getting more credit. Maybe because he's, you know, listed as a tight end and not a receiver.
I would ask you about the Mauritius Open there, but I don't want to spoil people. Maybe people should go listen to your podcast. I don't want to take away the juice from that. Listen to the Wide World of Wine Garden for golf tips in South Africa. Did you bet anything in the World Cup match, the second semi today at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, this between France and Morocco? What did you play here?
I have not bet anything in that game. I don't have much of an edge in these soccer markets. So, you know, it's just me kind of throwing paint against the wall here. I did bet some more offensive rookie of the year stuff. I think that's a pretty interesting market. You know, Brock Purdy's number just keeps moving. I saw 35-1 at DraftKings, then 30-1, now 22-1. At what price is it going to stop at?
So we had this, we touched on this briefly last segment, and this is sort of like the conversation in another sport we were having. This is sort of like the Jacob DeGrom conversation, right? Where it's like, okay, if Jacob DeGrom came back in early July, would that be enough runway for him to still win a Cy Young? Never happened. He never got back in time. Is 5+ games enough for Brock Purdy to win this award, in your opinion?
I think it would be unprecedented, but not impossible. Circa had 375-1 last week, ended up down to 75-1. Now it's down to 16-1. So, you know, someone got a nice bet down there. Won't say who, but someone got a nice number there.
Won't say who. Someone did.
I just don't think it's actually very realistic. It's just a situation where when you look at like Garrett Wilson, mm-hmm. he has 4 touchdowns. Those 4 touchdowns came across 2 games. So far, played like 13 games, scored twice in 2 of them and 0 times in 11 games. That's just not historically the type of production that wins you Offensive Rookie of the Year. Kenneth Walker, he's averaging 59 yards a game. You know, that's all right. You know, scored 9 touchdowns. It's just not there. Christian Watson, he has 9 touchdowns on the season, 8 in the last month, but he only has 25 receptions for 400 yards. Can we really give it to him? I would like him to get it because I have him at 60-1. But I don't know how realistic it is. So I sort of think in a normal year, there would be a clear cut winner. So Purdy maybe has a chance, but if you're betting him now, you've missed all the big numbers. I wouldn't recommend, yeah, you know, piling into this at this number. And it reminds me a lot of Wander Franco. We've talked about him a lot.
Yes, Wander Franco of the Tampa Bay Rays. It is of any market this late in any season about as wide open as they come. Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's anybody's guess at this point who will win this. Last thing, Jason. Any plays in the NFL for Week 15 that you've made?
Yeah, I bet Seattle plus 3.5 on Thursday night. I mean, as good as Brock Purdy's numbers have been and everything, let's see how he does on a short week. Taking 3.5 at home, Seattle usually, you know, has a pretty nice home field advantage. It's pretty loud, but if Brock Purdy's gonna be the guy, he's gonna get a win here, and the hype train is gonna move on. So let's something's gonna give on Thursday, and it's either gonna be Purdy's Rookie of the Year odds, or Seattle's gonna move up and have a chance to kind of tussle with the 49ers down the stretch.
All right, Jason, we appreciate it, man. Good to have you back in the country.
Thanks for having me. Always fun.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. By the way, that dovetails into our pro tip of the hour. If you have conviction on someone in the Offensive Rookie of the Year market, definitely the most wide open of the award races and can offer the best odds. That is your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day, all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. This is Kelly Bidlin on Primetime Action, drinking some eggnog. Kelly is 5 minutes into this. Kelly has opted for the pour-in-a-cup method. I have a text from Michael Montesano, last year's booby prize winner at Circa, who says, get Kelly a trash can stat.
Spilled eggnog all over myself.
Oh, wait. That takes 10 minutes off. That's 10 minutes off the time. You have an hour, 50 minutes. There it is. That is. You have an hour and 50 minutes
he's
now.
He's already
you
no up to have, his tricks.
You have no longer have 2 hours. I see what you're doing there. That's classic. Garbage.
Also,
that's
like half
garbage.
Of it is ending up on your mustache and beard.
That's the problem I'm realizing.
So constant haggling about that
the
bet.
The rich and creamy.
We want to see if we can coax Kelly into doing it again. It's holiday season. Nothing like a good eggnog bet. I don't know if there's network studio rules that we'll have to circumvent. But I think we will if we can, if you know what I mean. Kelly and Eggnog, send in your betting parameters if you'd like. We've done all we can do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.